We all have a physical man and a spiritual man. Both have lips, hands, teeth, and feet. I can see my physical man when I look in a mirror, but what does my spiritual man look like? The first man is made of dirt and soon returns to the dust. The second man is spirit and eternal, either eternal life in Christ Jesus or eternal death in Satan, cognizant and tormented in the lake of fire. Jesus lays out an excellent example of this duality in Luke 16:9-31. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, thou art tormented. And beside all this, betwixt us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The rich man died, and his physical body was buried in his tomb, including his eyes. Yet in hell, the rich man lifts up his eyes to see two men. The rich man's brain is decaying away in his tomb. Yet in hell, he recognizes Abraham and Lazarus. The rich man's voice is no longer heard upon this earth, and his vocal cords are with the rest of his decaying body in his tomb. Yet in hell, he cries out. The rich man's tongue is in his tomb, yet in hell, he says, recorded in Luke 16:24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What does my second man look like? God sees the second man, and so does the devil. It is critical, then, that I see him too. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Even as Jesus declares in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except that man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those who are not born again are spiritually dead. The second man is dead unto God. Ephesians 2:1 speaks to this issue, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, today you will literally be born again. Today all of your sins will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be sinless, even spotlessly clean. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be shattered. You will be free, entirely free. Today, you will begin a brand new life full of glorious hallelujah. Write today's date, hour, and minute down, for today is your birthday. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject. God said, Genesis 4:10, and he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. God said, Psalms 9:12, when he maketh inquisition for blood. He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God said, Romans 1, verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Man said, I've never bothered to read the Bible. Everyone knows it's not true, so why bother? Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1253, that will once again certify the supernatural inerrant marvels of God's Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the building up of the kingdom and to be used as a platform from which to fish for the lost souls of the sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. You have arrived at the God Said, Mad Said Genesis series. This is part 33. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end of quote. I recently received an advertisement from a magazine called Free Inquiry that also has a problem with the God of creation and the first book of the Bible called Genesis. Under the heading, Is God Big Enough for the Universe? Free Inquiry writes, The authors of Genesis proclaim that God made the heavens and earth in less than a week. This feat must have amazed these Bronze Age authors, even though they thought the heavens extended only so far as the sky above them. Of course, they did not know what stars, planets, or galaxies were. We now know that the universe is so much bigger and so much more complex, end of quote. The born-again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? I suppose they did. But God's revelation is only revealed to the humbled hearts of the children of faith. This God Said, Man Said series, which we call the Genesis series, it is our intention to travel through the entire book of Genesis and publish one major God-inspired truth after another. We will be pulling from previous God Said, Man Said features and adding the latest information as we go. When my ear is bowed down before the Word of God in simple childlike faith, the beauty and bounty of its power is revealed. It's so exciting to ponder the marvels of the Holy Scriptures. Students and lovers of this beautiful book are entranced with the often strange groupings of words, knowing that revelation lies within, and with the claims of such fantastical miracles, and are so very exhilarated to see that verse after verse, the full certification of this much-maligned book by credible third-party sources. Be of good cheer, child of God. Your faith will not be disappointed. Three abbreviated examples follow from the God Said, Man Said Genesis series that demonstrate the strange claims and miraculous interactions in the history of man. 1. Genesis 2:21 through 23. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. God creates the first woman from a man's rib. Do societal records and science confirm? The ancient Sumerian creation account, which precedes Moses' penning of the book of Genesis, reports that the first woman was called Ninti, which means in Sumerian, the lady of the rib. Why a rib? Why didn't he choose another pile of dust? Why didn't he choose some other physical part of Adam's anatomy? For one thing, when bone grafting is necessary, one's own rib is the most likely candidate to contribute, as the rib is full of bone marrow, and if the rib is removed properly, it will regrow. Bone marrow is a spongy tissue found inside bones, but superpower-filled bones such as the breastbone, skull, hips, spine, and ribs actually contain stem cells that manufacture the body's red and white blood cells. White blood cells defend against disease, and red blood cells bring oxygen and nourishment to the body and remove waste products. God chose a rib. Research published in September and reported in the November 3, 2012 issue of Science News is back inside the female brain. The title reads, Male DNA Found in Female Brains. Excerpts follow. Children live on in their mother's brains for decades, and not just as memories. Scientists have found pockets of male DNA, presumably from baby fetuses, in the brain tissue of deceased elderly women. Not only is male DNA present in women's brains, it's common, researchers report online, September 26th in PLOS One. J. Lee Nelson of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle and her colleagues found snippets of a male-only gene in the brains of 18 to 26 women who died without neurological disease. The male DNA was spread throughout their brains. Finding male DNA in the brain isn't a complete shock, says geneticist Kirby Johnson of Tufts University in Boston, who wasn't involved in the study. What's interesting is how the DNA could have gotten there. Male DNA from a fetus could have broken through the blood-brain barrier, a wall that protects the fragile brain from pathogens in the blood. But that shouldn't be possible, Johnson says, end of quote. Male DNA in the female brain, Johnson said, but that shouldn't be possible. They're flummoxed. What is this male DNA found in the brain and throughout the female body? Would any in science dare to suggest Adam's rib? That, of course, is what Eve was made of. Number two, Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Genesis names the first man Adam, and Adam names his ribbed wife Eve. Until the last couple of decades, evolution's position had been that there was absolutely no original couple, and that all over the globe, evolution was happening, so it was impossible to pin down where humanity started. They were forced to update their unbelief when the field of microbiology proved and fully certified that all humans on the earth today can and do trace their ancestry back to one common mother, whom they have named mtDNA Eve, and one common father, whom they have named Y-chromosome Adam. Imagine that. The Bible is true after all. Number three, Genesis 2, verse 7, and then Genesis 3, verse 19. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Some won't find this very flattering, but you and I, in the final physical analysis, are walking, talking lumps of time-limited recycled mud. The mineral makeup of our bodies mirrors that of the earth, and every boy and girl knows that when you die, you turn back into dust. The soil is truly amazing. The earth reclaims and recycles all its dead, from leaves to humans. Man eats a hole in the earth and fills it when he dies. In a Newsweek magazine article titled Life from Clay, the following was printed. As if the biblical tale of man's creation from the dust of the ground were haunting their unconscious minds, NASA chemists have presented evidence that life on Earth may have gotten its start in clay. They have shown that clays attract the organic molecules that make up protein and DNA, the ingredients of life, possibly from the sea during high tides. The clays might then trigger chemical reactions that string the building blocks into proteins and DNA. The latest experiments show how, according to NASA's Leela Coyne, Clays scavenges energy released by such natural processes as radioactive decay. They store the energy in the form of trapped electrons and then release it when subjected to stress, an earthquake, for example, or from wetting and drying as the tides rise and recede, says Coyne. The ability of clays to store energy, catalyze reactions, and perhaps self-replicate, all attributes of living systems, is forcing us to re-examine at a very fundamental level the definition of life. The ancient Miatsu people of China have chronicled their lineage back to Japheth, the son of Noah, and from there all the way back to the world's first man, whom their genealogical record calls Dirt. That's his name. Arthur E. Troe, in an article titled Genesis According to the Mayo People, renders the original Miatsu name in the following quote. It is clearly meant to portray Adam, the version of whose name in the Miatsu language, as in Hebrew, Akkadian, and so on, means earth or clay, the substance from which he was created. End of quote. In regard to the first man, famed historian Flavius Josephus recorded, this man was called Adam, which in the Hebrew tongue means one that is red, because he was formed out of red earth, compounded together, for of that kind is virgin and true earth. End of quote. Man now knows God's word is true and righteous altogether, and that Adam means red dirt. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who can transform this temporal dust into eternal glory. Wow, so exhilarating. Unregenerated man focuses entirely on recycled temporal mud. He covets recycled mud. He cheats to gain recycled mud. He steals recycled mud. He kills for recycled mud. He lusts after recycled mud and sells his soul for the same. Carnaldom seeks the vanity that mud affords. And what a short vanity it is. Strange claims and marvelous miracles, and yes, of course, they are all true. Genesis 4:10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The following excerpts have been lifted from the God Said, Man Said feature, The Voice of Thy Brother's Blood. According to the scriptures, life is in the blood, and the shed blood of the innocent must be accounted for. Psalms 9:12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God makes inquisition for innocent blood that was shed, and he says to Cain, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Nearly 6,000 years before man knew the reason why, the creator of the universe said that blood could cry out from the earth. Today, it would be commonly called forensic science, and the voice of shed blood can be heard. DNA analysis was first used in a criminal case in 1987. Since that time, its terms and scientific techniques have become common household knowledge. DNA information can be extracted from blood cells, semen, skin, and hair cells. Radford University criminology professor T.W. Burke said, forensic evidence can last forever. According to Burke, criminal investigators prefer real evidence, meaning forensic, rather than eyewitnesses because forensic evidence is more reliable, Burke continued. Real evidence is any evidence that is tangible. It's the best evidence that investigators strive to get. Do you remember the 1954 murder case in which Dr. Sam Shepard was convicted of murdering his wife? A long-standing television series, The Fugitive, was fashioned after the Shepard case. A major motion picture called by the same name was also made. 10 years after the initial trial, Shepard won the right to a retrial. After 10 years of serving hard time, he was acquitted. Yet many still thought Dr. Shepard was simply getting away with murder. In 1970, Dr. Sam Shepard died at the age of 46. In 1997, the doctor's son sued the state of Ohio to once and for all clear his father's name. A vial of dried blood from the crime scene was discovered, and a DNA analysis was conducted to establish whether the assumed third person was present and complicit at the time of Mrs. Shepherd's death. The blood has the voice. It's true. Blood can cry out from the earth. Only the creator of the universe could have known this truth nearly 6,000 years ago. Blood most certainly has a voice. The following paragraphs are from the feature The Science of Blood, How Forensic Scientists Unravel Crime Scenes, published by Teo Vasconcelos, August 18, 2024. In the world of forensic science, blood is one of the most telling pieces of evidence at a crime scene. It speaks volumes, revealing details about the events that unfolded, the weapon used, and even the identity of those involved. Forensic scientists, particularly those specializing in blood analysis, play a crucial role in interpreting these clues, helping to reconstruct the crime and bringing perpetrators to justice. Some common methods used to extract information from blood evidence include confirmatory tests. Once presumptive tests suggest the presence of blood, confirmatory tests are used to verify the result. The most definitive test is the DNA analysis, which not only confirms the presence of human blood, but also provides a genetic profile that can be compared to known samples. Luminol testing. Luminol is a chemical that reacts with the iron and hemoglobin, causing a blue glow in the dark. It's used to detect blood that has been cleaned up or is not visible to the naked eye. While luminol is highly sensitive and can reveal trace amounts of blood, it can also react with other substances, so its results must be interpreted carefully. Blood analysis and forensics is not just about the science. There are some fascinating and unexpected aspects to this field. The age of a blood stain. Scientists can estimate the age of a blood stain based on changes in the properties of hemoglobin. Over time, hemoglobin undergoes chemical changes, which can be measured to approximate when the blood was deposited. Blood is a silent witness. Blood can reveal whether a person was under the influence of drugs or alcohol at the time of the crime. Toxicology tests on blood samples can detect various substances, providing additional context for the crime. The impact of environment. The environment can drastically affect blood evidence. Factors like temperature, humidity, and exposure to sunlight can alter the appearance and degradation rate of blood stains, complicating the analysis. Forensic scientists must consider these factors when interpreting blood evidence. Animals versus human blood. Differentiating between animal and human blood is crucial in many investigations. Although the basic structure of blood is similar across mammals, forensic scientists use a specific test to detect human hemoglobin and DNA, ensuring the blood evidence is relevant to the case. Blood stains and flight path. The shape of a blood droplet can reveal the angle at which it struck a surface, allowing analysts to trace its origin. By measuring the length and width of an elliptical blood stain, forensic scientists can calculate the angle of impact, helping to reconstruct the sequence of events during a crime. Forensic scientists who specialize in blood analysis are vital in piecing together the story behind a crime scene. Through meticulous examination and advanced techniques, they transform blood stains into powerful evidence that can make or break a case. As science and technology advance, so too does the ability of forensic experts to decode the silent yet telling testimony of blood. This ongoing evolution in forensic science continues to refine our understanding of crime and justice, ensuring that even the smallest traces of blood do not go unnoticed. End of quotes. Blood has a voice. The following excerpts are from an article titled Blood in Murder Investigations, written by Sanisha Franjic in the Journal of Law and Judicial Systems in 2019. Saliva is sprayed, hair is yanked from its roots, skin is scraped off, and flesh is torn. Violent crimes inevitably leaves a number of different types of biological materials behind as witness to the attack. With the possible exception of semen in the case of sexual assault, no type of biological fluid or tissue is consistently more revealing about the victim, the attacker, and the circumstances of the assault than blood. Blood can yield DNA that identifies the crime's participants. Its splash patterns can reveal the site and mode of the attack. Blood can make an attacker's fingerprints or shoe prints readily visible. Crimes involving violent contact between individuals are frequently accompanied by bleeding and result in bloodstain patterns. Crime scene analysis have come to appreciate that bloodstain patterns deposited on floors, walls, ceilings, bedding, and other relevant objects can provide valuable insights into events that occurred during the commission of a violent crime. The information one is likely to uncover as a result of bloodstain pattern interpretation includes the following: the direction from which blood originated, the angle at which a blood droplet struck a surface, the location or position of a victim at the time a bloody wound was inflicted, the movement of a bleeding individual at the crime scene, the minimum number of blows that struck a bleeding victim, the approximate location of an individual delivering blows that produced a bloodstain pattern. While becoming a certified bloodstain pattern analyst requires years of training and practice, the CSI can learn to examine blood spatter at the crime scene and determine direction of travel and a general location for area of origin of the impact. This understanding is important because the interpretation of blood spatter patterns and other evidence at crime scenes may reveal important investigative information, such as the positions of the victim, assailant, and objects at the scene, the type of weapon that was used to cause the splatter, the number of blows, shots, stabs, and so on that occurred, and the movement and the direction of the victim and assailant after the bloodshed began. It may also support or contradict statements given by victims, suspects, or witnesses, and most important, may keep an innocent person from being convicted. Passive bloodstains are created by the force of gravity and can be found on a variety of surfaces such as carpet, wood, tile, wallpaper, or clothing. A close inspection of the crime scene is required, and all stains must be documented. By applying the laws of physics, mathematics, and trigonometry, blood stain pattern analysis can provide information that will assist the investigator in determining what events occurred, who was or was not present, and the validity of a self-defense claim by the suspected perpetrator, end of quote. Blood does, in fact, cry out for justice, just like God's word declares in the very beginning. And now, predictably, here comes science to confirm it years later. Genesis, one God-inspired truth after another. Yes, God's word is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever. Genesis 4:10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." God said, Psalms 9, verse 12, "When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." God said, Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Man said, "I've never bothered to read the Bible. Everyone knows it's not true, so why would I bother?" Now you have the record.